This is the official podcast of UKIRK WCU, bringing you all the good news you can possibly handle. I'm Noah McEntee, campus pastor and director of UKIRK WCU and Hillside Grind Coffeehouse Ministry. We are pushing on in the midst of social distancing, isolation, quarantine, and this podcast is one of the ways that we're trying to get out the good word. Last week, I read a passage from Paul, which he wrote to the Colossians, and talked about how his heart is just reaching out to them, and how even though he is absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, he says. That sentiment is pervasive throughout the New Testament, and is one that right now I feel like a lot of us are really resonating with. For a little New Testament 101, remember that we have four Gospels, that is, the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which describe the life and times of Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, we hear narratives of Jesus, and we hear his very words, parables, preaching, all the ways that he speaks to disciples and to crowds and to individuals. All of it is recorded faithfully by one of those four Gospel writers, and then packaged back for us in order that we might have a clear picture of Jesus. Immediately following those four Gospel accounts is the book of Acts, sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles, because it describes the first movements of the church as it's carried by the apostles into the world. Luke is the traditional author of the book, and it could be read as part two if you consider him to have written a two-part work on Christianity that began with the life and times of Jesus, as recorded in his gospel, commonly called the Gospel According to Luke, or shorthand, Luke. Luke would be part one, life and times of Jesus, and then the book of Acts would be part two, life and times of the apostles and disciples as they go and spread the word that was brought to them by Christ and is being now given to the world as they are the church. Now, Acts can itself be divided in two if you split it based on main character or focal character. That is, the first half of the book follows Peter, and the second half of the book follows Paul. Now, Peter was one of the 12 disciples, and is critical in the establishment of the early church, but no less critical is Paul, who, though he wasn't one of the 12, yet was commissioned directly by Christ on his Damascus Road experience. Peter ends up doing a lot of work inside the Beltway, so to speak. He's in Jerusalem with the other apostles and disciples, like James, with whom he led the Council of Jerusalem, which sees Peter and Paul together and acts as the hinge right in the middle of the book of Acts, the hinge that transitions us from the account of Peter to that of Paul. Now, Paul is where we're going. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he travels far and wide as he sets up new churches and brings the gospel message to each of them. After establishing them, and sometimes without even establishing them, he writes letters to them, corresponding with them extensively. Most of the rest of the New Testament, after the four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, most of the rest is those letters. Following the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament comes the letter which Paul wrote to the church in Rome, then the two letters he wrote to Corinth, then one letter each to the churches in Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae. We then have two letters that he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, which are some of my favorites, and then a few letters that he wrote to individuals, namely Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now, before we go further, I should say these letters aren't arranged chronologically, so don't think that Paul went to Rome and then to Corinth and then to Galatia and so on. They're instead arranged by length, from longest to shortest. It's an effective system of arrangement, though probably not the one that appeals most to the modern mind. In any event, the point that we're all waiting to be made is this. A lot of the New Testament is written in the form of a letter. And while they may not have been social distancing or isolated in their homes, nevertheless, they were apart from each other, much like we are right now, much like everyone is right now. The church was forged by these letters of correspondence across distances. When we open these letters, we hear again and again how much longing there is for proximity and for community. And there's a real effort at building one another up, even across these distances, and for remembering each other in prayer, knowing that distance does not separate us from God, who hears our prayer. and letter after letter, we hear, "Without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers." Or, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Or, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy." Or this one, "I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day." I read an article recently that talked about how this pandemic has shaken so many of us free of our regular patterns and schedules, and that can be disorienting and harmful. We need those patterns to structure our lives, to create boundaries, to allow us to put our minds on autopilot once or twice, so that we're not always burdened with the constant demand for active, volitional choice about everything, because it's all new to us. I struggle with that myself, as I find myself working from home. Working from home sounds like you've liberated your work from the workplace and are now free to conduct it at your pleasure from the comfort of your own home. But really, honestly, it feels like I've moved my bed, my dresser, my fridge, and my kitchen table all into my office, and I can never leave. Patterns, routines, the regular established habits, they help structure our lives so that we don't just collapse in on ourselves like a black hole. Prayer is one of those routines that defines a rhythm of the day. It reaches out beyond us and it speaks to God. It's a place where we unite spiritually with those we pray for. If you haven't tried it yet, try it. Say a prayer. If you have tried it, if you are the kind of person who prays, but you're out of the pattern or you haven't had a regular pattern in the past, try setting one now. Put that pattern back in place if you have simply gotten out of the habit. And if you didn't have a habit, try it. We need patterns to get us through this, and prayer is a pattern that we always need. If you're a regular prayer already, hang on to that routine and remember how important it is to you. It is not nothing to continue to pray through this. Say a prayer for those also who are looking for this new pattern and trying to establish it. Keep those patterns, people. They'll ground you in this uncertain time when we are all apart. And keep the faith. Stay positive. Trust in the Lord and do good. The music that you're listening to is from my friends, Steve and Ezra, who formed a funky little band called the Histamines. Find their music online at Bandcamp.